The book of Judges, Old Testament, book of Judges, chapter 10, verse 6. Amen. Then we got Christmas caroling. Amen. I like to go caroling. Don't you? It's fun.
Yeah.
Go be a blessing to somebody else. You say, well, Brother Goodson, I'm feeling down. Well, go sing to somebody else. Go bless somebody else. Go pray for somebody else. Amen. Go do something for somebody else. It'll make you feel better. Isn't that right, Brother Nat Wesley? Brother Wesley really needs a job. And he struggles around here. But you know what? This man dedicated 2 days of his week this week to go build a room for some people who didn't have any money. He didn't get a dime for it. Didn't get a penny for it. Matter of fact, he spent money to go. But when he got to my house Wednesday, he's glowing. He's just so excited. He was walking on air because he did something for somebody else. Amen. It'll make you feel good. Amen. Get out of yourself. Go do something for somebody else. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good, Brother Grissom. Glad you said that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then, well, Sunday we're going to have a great day. Christmas program. Don't you love Christmas programs?
Yeah.
I do. The kids are going to be up here. It'll be fun. They'll mess up and we'll have a great time. Amen. No telling what they'll say. No telling what I'll say. But it'll be fun. We'll have a great time. And then, of course, Sunday night, it's always a good time. Man, we'll get over there and we'll have loads of Mexican food. Amen. And then we'll sing some songs and have some more fellowship, a great time. It's going to be a good, good week. Judges chapter 10, verse number 6. And the children of Israel did evil again. But I say again. In the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. The anger of the Lord not against Israel. Them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on this other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead, moreover the children of Ammon, passed over the Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Baalim. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did I not deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, from the Philistines, from the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand? Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou not unto us whatever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. I want to preach today about serving gods that cannot save. Serving gods that cannot save. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The foundation stone of relationships is commitment. Everybody say commitment. Everybody say commitment. Amen. And one more time, everybody say commitment. Amen. I don't know any reason why anybody ought to be afraid of commitment. If you're honest, you have no reason to be afraid of commitment. Amen. If you're on the up and up, you have no reason to be afraid of committing yourself. Amen. People that have something to hide or an ulterior motive can be afraid of commitment. But if you're just honest and above board, you have no problem. And you should have no problem with being able to commit. If you're involved in a relationship with a person that won't commit, bail out now. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're involved in a relationship with a business partner and won't commit, bail out now. If you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, commit, find a place of repentance, and pray until you get a backbone so you can commit yourself to Him. The foundation stone of relationship is commitment. God had no problem committing Himself to Israel. When He called Abraham, He committed Himself to Abraham. He said, I will be with you. He said, I will protect you everywhere you go with you. And God did exactly that. One time, Abraham went up against 5 kings and 5 armies with 319. And God delivered him out of the hand of 5 kings and 5 armies, and He conquered them. Hey, God will commit Himself to you if you will commit yourself to God. And so He committed Himself. He blessed Abraham. Amen. Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac. And he said, through Isaac, I'm going to bless. And then Isaac had a couple of little boys. And they couldn't get along. One was Esau and one was Jacob. And then God chose Jacob. And He blessed Jacob. And Jacob had 12 boys. And those 12 boys became the heads of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And God blessed them. And God protected. God allowed Israel to go into Egypt and stay there for 430 years. But He protected them. He caused them to go into the best land in Egypt, in Goshen. And God blessed Israel in Egypt. And after 430 years, now Israel had grown from 70 souls to perhaps 2 to 3 million souls. And God said, now it's time for you to come out of Egypt. And God blessed them.
Amen.
You know the story. God delivered them miraculously. Amen. Not only did God deliver them, but God gave them favor so that the Egyptians gave them gold and silver and brass. They got 400 years worth of wages in one day. And pretty good payday. Amen. And when they left Egypt, they had everything worth keeping. Amen. They come to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army behind. No way across. You remember, God sent a strong east wind. God divided the waters. God dried up the ground. They went across on dry land to the other side. He closed the sea. Destroyed the army. God was committed to Israel. Led them through the wilderness. Gave them bread cooked in heaven's oven. Sent them quail. Amen. Enough to feed 2 or 3 million people. That's a lot of quail, folks. God must have had a quail factory somewhere. He fed them. Gave them water. I don't know. It takes a lot of water for 2 million people in the wilderness. But God gave them water, not only just for them, but for their livestock, for their cows, and for the horses, and for their sheep, and their chickens. I don't guess they had any pigs. These are Jews. Unless they're kosher. I don't know how you get a pig to be kosher. But God blessed them. God was committed to Israel.
Amen.
She was. God blessed Israel. God protected Israel. God provided for Israel. God led Israel. He gave them a cloud to cool them in the day and a fire to warm them in the night. My God loved Israel. Yes, he did. And when the time came and he took them into the promised land, the Bible said that he drove out the enemies from before them. Let me go a few moments here to the book of Joshua. I want you to go to chapter 24. Now this is Joshua speaking to the people after they have gone into the land. They are in the land of Israel that God had so graciously given to them. Looking at verse 13. The Lord said to Israel, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards, which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods." Everybody say, "Put away the gods." Say, "Put away the gods." Amen. "Which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Is that reasonable? Those gods didn't bring them there. God brought them there. Those gods didn't deliver them from Egypt. God delivered them from Egypt. Those gods didn't give them man in the wilderness. God gave them man in the wilderness. So he said, "You put all that stuff away now, and you serve me.
Amen.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve."
Yes.
"Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Yes.
And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God.
Yes.
He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. And after that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." Joshua said to the people, "You're witness yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you." Now listen, all this time they're saying, "We're going to serve God, we're going to serve God, we're going to serve God." But back home they had strange gods. In their living room, they had a strange God. In the bedroom, strange gods. Hello? I'm preaching a little bit here. Am anybody getting the message? I said, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. But back and Joshua knew. He said, now listen. You know what you got at home that you need to get rid of? He said, and when you get home, you better get rid of it. Because you just made a commitment here. Everybody said commitment. You just made a commitment here. You're going to serve God. And he said, when you get home, you better get rid of all that other stuff. Amen. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God, will we serve? And his voice, will we obey? And then, we get back to Judges 10. A few years have passed now. Amen. From the time of the conquest to the time of the kings was 350 years. And somewhere in that 350 years, Israel looked like a roller coaster. They had this cycle. The Bible says that they would prosper, God would bless them and they would prosper, and then they would fall into idolatry. Let me just say this. When you're doing good, be careful. When you don't have any problems, be careful. When life is easy, be careful. When you're coasting, be careful. Because that's the easiest time for you to fail. It's easier to serve God in a time of trouble than it is in a time of prosperity. It's easier to serve God when trouble forces you to call on Him than when you're at ease and you don't really need anything. So when Israel was blessed, they'd get to looking around and say, well, that's a good-looking God over there. I think I'll serve Him for a while. And they'd fall into idolatry. And then God would send trouble, judgment, and they would repent. And God would deliver them. And then God would prosper them. And then they would fall into idolatry. And God would judge them. And then they would repent. And God would forgive them and restore them and bless them and prosper. They would fall into idolatry. That's why it says here in the 10th chapter that Israel did evil again. I might say again. It was a pattern. They did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says they served Balaam. That's a plural word for gods. They served all kinds of gods. They just, whatever the god was, they served all kinds of gods. And they served all, just every kind of god you can imagine. They had a god for it and they worshiped him. I'm talking about one god. One God people that knew Jehovah God and had witnessed His power and seen His miracles and known His blessing and had His word. And yet, they fell for other gods. Are there any gods in America that people can worship today? Is there any gods that Pentecostals can fall prey to? Is there some gods, young people, that you can fall in love with if you're not careful? It's possible to love a boyfriend more than you love God. Have that happened? Sadly so. I've seen young men fall in love with a young girl and they chose that little girl over the church and Jesus Christ. I've seen girls fall in love with boys and say, oh, I'll win him to the Lord. And they're still out there somewhere today. No closer to God now than they were when they left. Oh, yeah. Better be careful. Be careful. Amen. Be careful. Now, it's fun to play sports. I used to like to play sports. And I did pretty good with some of that. But don't you get wrapped up in it. Amen. Some people have allowed that to sweep them away from church.
Right.
Amen. You can fall in love with your looks so much it'll get you out of church.
Uh-oh.
Brother Grissom, you are really preaching up here now. You better believe it.
Right.
Amen. We're just getting started. Amen. I've known people thought they were so good looking they couldn't serve God.
Uh-huh.
I've seen people fall in love with their God-given gift. God gave them a gift of singing or a gift of music or even a gift of preaching.
Uh-huh.
And they fell so in love with their gift that that gift took them away from God.
Uh-oh.
They worshiped the gift more than the giver. There's a lot of gods we can fall in love with.
Right.
Yeah, man, you can fall in love with Hollywood.
Right.
Or Nashville. Or the gods of rock and roll. You can. Are you really preaching that stuff? Yes, I am.
Amen.
Yes, I am.
Praise
amen.
Right, amen.
Praise the Lord. You can fall in love with materialism. Amen. You can fall in love with a car. You can fall in love with a house. You can fob. You can fall in love with a career. You can fall in love with a boat. You'd be surprised what people will serve.
That's right.
Amen. You'd be surprised what people can fall in love with that'll get a church. Away from God. Cause them to break their commitment to the Lord. Amen. You can fall in love with stuff. Just stuff. What do you mean? I mean stuff. Anybody got any stuff? Here's how you fall in love with stuff. You just can't quit buying stuff. And so you got to work two jobs to pay for your stuff. And you can't get to Wednesday night because you got to work to pay for your stuff. And you can't get here Sunday because you got to pay for your stuff. And you can't get here Sunday night because you got to have your stuff. And you love stuff more than you love anything else. And stuff has consumed you. Now we laugh at some people because they worship a little old stone looking thing. And they said, this is my God, the God of the water. Or the God of rain, or the God of thunder, or the God of lightning, or the God of my God of the sea, or the God of the land. And we say, how foolish is that? And yet we worship stuff. Walmart. Walmart's become a verb. Walmarting. You ever heard that? I'm going Walmarting. You know, men go fishing. Some people go Walmarting. Can't even stay out of the place.
Oh,
well, I'm preaching and I'm meddling. Amen. But I'm kind of bringing it home here tonight, folks.
Amen.
Amen. We got to be careful because there's some gods in America.
Right.
Wanting to be accepted. Amen. Afraid to stand up for what you believe. You got to be careful. There's a lot of gods out there. And if you're not careful, they can take you away just like they took Israel. The Bible says not only did they worship these false gods, but here's the thing that's so shocking. The Bible says, and they forsook the Lord. Let me tell you something about the devil. You hang on here and listen to me real carefully. When you start messing up, are you listening?
Yes.
When you start messing up, the first thing the devil's going to say is you don't be living like that and going to church.
Yes. Come on. Come on, brother.
I'm telling you, if you're messing up, you still need to come to church. Because you're sure not going to be saved at church. I very seriously that you're going to hear a Holy Ghost conviction message sitting in a movie theater. I don't believe you're going to hear an apostolic message sitting on a bar stool or shooting up drugs with somebody or getting high on legalized marijuana out in Washington State. Or hugged up with some. You're not going to get saved like that. But Brother Grissom, I don't want to be a hypocrite. That's been the devil's own saw for a long time. The first time you mess, he says, stay home. You can't go to church living like that. Hear me? When you get an apostolic atmosphere where the Holy Ghost is falling, Holy Ghost conviction can still reach out and get a hold of your heart and wring you inside out and change you and give you that bold. Amen. But the Bible said Israel not only was serving these other gods, but they literally forsook the Lord. They left Him. Now, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. When are you going to quit saying it, Brother Grissom? Never. The problem with you leaving God is that when you get out there and you got some little ones, they don't know what you know.
Exactly true.
They never felt what you felt. Amen. Pentecost.
Right.
You are in the back of your mind. You've always got this desire that I'm going to get back before it's too late. But your children don't know that. And they never hear there's power in the blood. And they never know it's all in Him. And they never understand there's amazing grace. And they don't get to hear that. And they don't feel that. And they don't know what it's like to be lost in it and talk in tongues. In your head, you remember. But how sad they never? No. What a travesty. What a travesty. And so Israel forsook the Lord. And the Bible says that the anger of the Lord was hot in Israel. Here's a question. You need to be honest with me. Have you ever been mad at your kids? Let me use the proper word. Have you ever been angry with your kids? Have you ever been angry with your kids when they did what you told them not to do? Now, young people, hang on. You'll get there one of these days. You'll earn your place. You'll get mad at your kid. Well, why do we do that? Because we know what's best for them. And the reason we told them not to do certain things is because we know what's going to happen when they do. And we know what danger there is. And we know what trouble there is. And we know what heartache there is. And we know what consequences they are. And so we give them good advice and we give them good wisdom. And pastors do the same thing.
Right.
Brother Grissom, have you ever been angry at somebody that you gave good advice to and they ignored you and got in trouble? Yes. I want to stand up and say, I told you so! But I won't do that. Because I'm not. I'm a man of God. Did you read this? Did you hear what I said? It said the Lord was hot against it. I mean, He was about to blow His top. He was angry. He was steaming. He was. Now, it didn't say that He was mad at the Ammonites. They were doing what Ammonites do. He wasn't mad at the Philistines. They were just doing what Philistines do. He wasn't mad at the Moabites because they just do what Moabites do. He was angry at his kids.
Right. That's right.
Why? Because he made a commitment to his kids and his kids made a commitment to him. That's why he's upset.
Right.
Amen. They're doing whatever they do. But this is mine right here. They bear my name. They have my promise. They have my spirit. They have my blood. These are my very own right here.
Amen.
Amen. That's why God treats you different than he does other people. Other people can get away with things you can't get away with.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Other people can tell lies and you tell a lie and you can't sleep. Good. That's a good sign.
Right. Right.
If you can tell a lie and go to sleep right after that, you better get worried.
Right.
Amen. You need to understand tonight because you made a commitment to God and God made a commitment to you. It's different for you. It's not like everybody else. So God was angry with Israel. The Bible said he sold them. They were his. And he sold them. He said, all right, Philistines, have at it. All right, Ammon, have at it. All right, Moab, have at it. How many times have I told you that God doesn't have to punish you? All he's got to do is just let you have your way. All he's got to do is just lift his protecting hand. And all of hell will assail you. You've no idea how protected you are tonight. You've no idea how God has covered you and kept you and protected you until you get yourself in a place where God says enough and just listen. In the second, in the book of Corinthians, there was a man in the Corinthian church that was so vile that he was proud of his sin and he was flaunting his sin actually in the church. And Paul said, turn him over to Satan for a season. What does that mean? That means, Lord, you just lift your hand off of him and let the devil have his way with him for a little bit. 2 Corinthians, Paul said, now you go restore that man, bring him back home. It's a dangerous thing. The Lord told me one time, a certain person in the church being rebellious, hard to deal with. And the Lord said, let me have it. And I said, Lord, please just, like you gave that man in the Bible one more year to work around a certain tree, wouldn't bear any fruit, just give me one more year. And he did. There was no change. A year later, trouble. Wasn't no time at all till they were gone. Heartbreaking. Oh yeah. Tears shed. Oh yeah. Pain. Here's the thing. Not only did that individual leave, but one by one, family members were pulled out. Sons and daughters, grandkids, their mate. Took time. Took some time because they kept coming. But one by one, they were drawn away. Heartbreaking. You know the good story? A few years later, the Lord restored them. They came back. Their mate came back. But their children are still gone. And the grandkids are still gone. The bitterness that they planted in the heart of their children and the bitterness they put in the heart of the grandkids caused them to go back. What a travesty. I'm just saying tonight, be very careful, folks. To the Lord. Be committed to God.
Amen.
And The Bible said that Israel was sore distressed, and out of that trouble they cried to the Lord, and didn't they? They said, "We have sinned against thee." They said both, and I want you to notice what they put first, because we have forsaken our God and have also served Baal. And they got their priorities right. The worst thing was that they forsook the Lord. The second bad thing was to serve other gods, but the worst thing was to turn away from God. Amen. This is pretty heavy stuff here. The Lord says, "Did I not deliver you?" And he lists all these people, and he said, "And I did deliver you out of their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods." And so the Lord said, "I'm not going to deliver you anymore." Now here's the gripping part. He said, "Go and cry unto the gods which you have," get this word, "chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." And you listen to me very carefully. When you get ready to choose a God, you better be sure you choose one that can save. There are gods that can entertain you. There are gods that can get you high. There are gods that can get you drunk. There are gods that can give you pleasure. There are gods that can give you escape. There's a lot of gods that can do a lot of things for you. But there's only one God that can save you. There's only one God that can deliver you. So when you get ready to choose a God, you better be real careful who you choose. Let them save you. I've never known anybody to smoke their way to deliverance. I've never known anybody to drink their way to deliverance. No. I've never known anybody to drug their way to deliverance. Why? Because all of those things are bondage.
All right.
All they do is drag you down. They'll never get you out. Right. You want a situation? You're going to have to reach up to something that's higher than you are. Right. You're going to have to reach up to something better than you are. You're going to have to reach up to something that's holy and something that's right and something that's good. Amen. But if you can get a hold of the hand of God and He can lift you out of your situation, He's the only God that can save. Amen. He's the only God that can save. So Israel confessed their sin, and the Bible says they forsook their sin. They woke up. They went home. They got those gods. They destroyed them. And they started doing everything. I think this is very interesting here. The Bible says, "And they put away the strange gods." I'm not sure what that means, put away. Now, some people put it in the closet. Yeah. Huh? Till conviction passes by. I've known this. I've known some people that had two wardrobes. They had a Pentecostal wardrobe, then they had their backsliding wardrobe. Yeah. And when they wanted to serve God, they'd put all their backsliding stuff in the back of the closet. But they'd hold on to it. And they'd just wear the Pentecostal stuff. They'd get cold. They didn't have to go buy a new outfit because they still had their backsliding clothes in the closet. Hello?
Amen.
Yeah.
Hello.
Amen. I've known people get in a revival, get all convicted out of television. And they'd go home and put it in the closet. Until conviction passed by. Yeah. Then they'd drag it out and put it back in the box. Amen. Because I'm not convicted anymore. Amen. I love Lucy. Well, if it stopped with Lucy, it might not be so bad. But it didn't stop with Lucy.
Oh, my.
Amen. That's right. It's a lot worse than that now. Amen. And hallelujah. I'm just saying tonight, God committed himself to us. Yes, he did. Wholeheartedly. He withheld nothing. Absolutely nothing. He gave his life. He gave his blood. He gave everything. And God wants people to be committed to him. The same way. He doesn't want us to reserve anything. Give it all. Amen. My question tonight, I suppose, is the same question that Joshua asked. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Right. Serve other gods, they're there. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's stand together. We will serve the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'm asking us tonight for a commitment. Anybody willing to make a commitment here tonight? God made one to you. I'm asking if you're willing to make one to him. Are you willing to step out and step forward? Amen. And come down to this altar tonight and let the Lord know and let the devil know and let the world know and let that anybody that wants to know that I choose the Lord. I choose the Lord here tonight. There's a whole lot of voices calling. There's a lot of competition vying for my attention. But I want you to know, Jesus, that I'm choosing you. I'm giving my heart to you. I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving my energies and my future, my present and my past. I'm giving it all to you. My talents, my gifts, my abilities, I'm giving them all to you. My hopes, my dreams, my desires, my ambitions, I'm giving them all to you. My yesterdays, my today, my tomorrows, I'm giving it all to you. Unreservedly to you. Anybody want to make that kind of a commitment tonight? Amen. Anybody want to make that kind of a commitment to the Lord tonight? Maybe, you know, if you've got some little God stuffed away somewhere, this would be a good time to get that right with the Lord. If you've been having some second thoughts, this is a good time to get your mind made up. If you feel like something's been kind of drawing you the wrong direction, this is the right time to get that set straight. This is a good time to tell the Lord, now, I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. It's just going to be you, Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less. Just you. Amen. I'm not splitting my attention here tonight. I'm not dividing my affections. It's just you. First, foremost, only, just you. Amen.